The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Welcome to the William Hill Racing Podcast. Alex Dunn and Mick Norton with you on this edition to look ahead to Monday's action. We've got racing at Plumpton, Ayr and Wolverhampton to look forward to on Monday, hopefully, anyway. No inspections planned as we record this at about midday on Sunday, or nothing that I can see anyway, so fingers crossed all meetings will get the go-aheads on Monday. And there's some decent action to look forward to. As previously mentioned, I'm Alex Dunn. And this is Mick Norton.
Yes, good afternoon.
Are you okay?
Yes, good, thanks.
Good to hear. We've had, I think by recent weeks of quality that we've had, maybe over the Christmas period, Saturday's action was perhaps less, not lesser in quality, it was certainly more competitive, wasn't it?
And, very.
And it was a chance maybe for handicappers and,
yes.
And horses with maybe slightly less ability maybe to come to the fore.
Yes, it was Warwick's...
And I mean that with all due respect.
With Warwick's big day of the jumping season, and they were rewarded with excellent fields and some excellent performances.
Mm. We saw the Classic at Warwick and the Lanzarote Hurdle at Kempton. We'll focus on the Lanzarote first at Kempton. That went the way of Modus for Paul Nicholls and Barry Geraghty. I was on Racing Radio yesterday, and I think the comment I made was a race like this has been within Modus's compass for about 2 years now. But it's just getting it all together on the same
day. He gets called
day.
A lot of names, doesn't he, Modus? Yeah. And I just feel that around 2 miles, it all happens a bit quick for him.
Mm.
And he just looked a natural over that trip on Saturday, didn't he? And looked much more comfortable and, you know, delivered the goods in the style of what we always expect from him, didn't he? And I think onwards and upwards from here. I think they'll stick now that he stamped his mark on that sort of trip. It's like the Coral Cup's probably a feasible Cheltenham target for him.
Travelled supremely well.
Brilliant, yeah. He just looks a very comfortable horse at that trip, didn't he?
And we don't know exactly what he's beaten, but you don't get bad Lanzarotis, do you? It's a fairly competitive handicap, and though Temple Ross was in second, Lord of the Island third, and Old Guard in fourth, it's still the format's a fairly solid look to
it. Well, he was giving them lumps of weight, wasn't he, as well? As well as a comprehensive beating. Temple Ross only, with Jamie Bargrave's claim, only carried 9-11. Lord of the Island only carried 10-2, and Modus carried 11-4, made light of it. No, I don't think we need worry about the strength of the form, and I think it was all down to the trip. I think he was much, much happier over that extended 2.5. It was actually a little bit further than advertised, wasn't it? Almost 2.6.
At Warwick as well, we had just before we get to the Classic, there was a listed novices chase at 150. American won that one.
Yeah, I saw that race, actually. I didn't see much of Warwick, but I did see the American win.
Just a superb display of jumping, and it's lovely when you get a horse that pings round Warwick, because it is one of those tracks that once you get into a rhythm, it's very hard to stop you, and American proved that.
Noel's a class act, isn't he?
Mm.
He gets them into that beautiful jumping rhythm, never seems hurried, does he? Just was meeting them on a stride, and he actually makes horses look better than they are, really. Mm. But I think in the case of American, I think he's as good as he looked. And onwards and upwards from him. A very good trainer, Harry Fry. And I think he's a Cheltenham contender on Saturday's evidence, Alex.
Mm. Well, it just reminded me very much of a horse called Corin Wood, formerly with Donald McKay, now with Dan Skelton.
Yeah.
That horse won at Warwick, I'm looking now, it was January 2014, so it's gone back a while now.
Yeah.
But I just remember it pinging every fence, and it was just a four-runner race, and, you know, we won't get too carried away, but it was, it reminded me of that, just seeing a stride at every single fence, yeah, and so exuberant.
But it was also reminiscent of last year's winning performance, Black Hercules, who, of course, went on to Cheltenham.
Yes.
Glory, didn't he, himself? So plenty to take on board there with American's performance.
And the classic, of course, grueling. They went off so fast.
The Ida trial.
It really was. It turned into stamina being absolutely the order of the day, which we knew beforehand that it would be important, but one for Arthur looked like he just joined in as they turned for home almost, and he scampered clear of Good to Know, Shotgun Paddy, and Ooblander's Oboe. Again, it's impossible to know how much that race is taken out of some of those horses, but yeah, some of the pace setters went so quickly in the early stages.
Incredible.
I was sat in the studio with Craig Forsyth, and he said they're going 7 furlong pace here for the first four or five.
You only have to see where horses like Ooblander's Oboe and Rigaud and Debouchen finished. I mean, he's an out-and-out steer regular, but he was one of the ones who forced the pace, wasn't he? And couldn't keep up that gallop. And Ooblander's Oboe was never going the pace, but he plugged on for fourth. It was a real proper stamina test. Mm. And well done to Lucinda and Peter Scudamore for, you know, after that slightly disappointing, but I suppose at the same time encouraging run in the Beecher Chase at Aintree. It was a good logical next step, and maybe the big one there'll be horses going there with less chances than him, won't there?
Yeah, that's a fair point to make, definitely, but certainly could be bigger and better things on the horizon,
especially after that scare at the second where he nearly got brought down.
Exactly.
I thought he did really well, jumped well, didn't he?
Yes,
especially in the closing stages when it mattered.
Absolutely, jumping is the name of the game, as they say.
Absolutely.
Right, we'll focus on some of Monday's racing then. Jumping is the name of the game, I will stick by that, but we're going to have the majority of our focus on Wolverhampton, actually, on Monday. Cause
probably. Well, it's actually, there's some good
there's
racing
three cracking
there.
Races.
Yeah, there are. It's and the jumping is good and competitive, but it lacks a bit of quality, but it doesn't lack interest because we've got some quite good fields.
Yes. Action at Ayr and Plumpton on the National Hunt Scene, and Wolverhampton on the Tappeta surface. We'll start at Plumpton. We're just going to focus on one race there before we look at three at Wolves. And Plumpton tomorrow is the High Five meeting at William Hill. So if you back a horse and it wins by five or more lengths, then you will receive a 25% win bonus on your bet. And if you back a second and it finishes five lengths or more behind the winner, you will get your money back as a free bet. Terms and conditions apply. I think it's £25 max. And you need six or more runners. But as things stand, all of those Plumpton races do qualify. So hopefully you can take advantage of that offer with us. The Plumpton 235 is a handicap hurdle over the extended 3 mile trip, 3 miles and one furlong, really. Seven of them down to go to post. And it looks pretty open,
to be honest.
Only Kid Kalanisi comes here off the back of a win. There's a few fairly consistent types, but tricky race to call.
But that Kid Kalanisi win was over fences as well. And it's very interesting that he does revert back to hurdles here. But he went chasing, made his chasing debut at Huntingdon the time before, and he fell two out. I think he would have probably finished second. Then he went to Fontwell. He got a nice confidence boosting win there over fences. And then back to hurdles. Strange one, that, isn't it? Yet he had been in good form over hurdles prior to going chasing. I don't really know what the, because it's not as if he's exploiting the lower hurdle mark, because it's almost identical to his chase mark. But it is a bit of a strange one. He makes the shortlist, and he did run well off of this mark on his latest hurdle start before those two runs over fences. So yeah, I wouldn't put anybody off backing Kid Kalanisi. It's just a strange one that he, you know, I got the confidence boosting win after the fall, and here he is back over hurdles. But he does stay well. which you have got on your side, and you'll need to win this.
Definitely. Currently soft ground at Plumpton as we record this. So one that interested me, down at the bottom, American Life.
Right.
Often well backed, and I actually napped this last time out.
Finished fourth when it was, again, heavily backed, wasn't
it? Yeah, and it's just one of those ones that if you manage to get on at a decent price, fair play, but it's costing more money than it's than it's rewarding me with at the minute. It's one that I've followed quite a bit over the last few weeks, and there is definitely a race in it.
Yeah,
whether it's tomorrow is another question, but certainly well weighted in a race like this on the ground.
As you correctly point out, and the money came for it on the back. How was it going the time before when it fell?
It was quite early at Huntingdon.
Yeah, so there was nothing to be gleaned from that.
Not especially, but has been well supported quite a few times now. And just one to keep an eye on,
it's
definitely.
It's going to pop up one of these days, isn't it?
What about Let 'Em Go then, the consistent runner in the
lineup? Now, he's going to get the vote in this because he's gradually running into form. I think this is only his fifth start for Chris Gordon, and much, much better the last two than the first two.
Mm.
And he ran really well, which I think is significant, two outings ago, and his only previous start here at Plumpton.
That was in an amateur riders handicap hurdle.
It was.
And ridden by Miss G.L. Double, who I have to say I've never...
I've never
even seen before.
Nor I, and Tom Cannon takes over in the saddle, which is never a bad thing around Plumpton. Rides the track particularly well. And, he's going to get the vote, is Let 'Em Go. The other one worthy of mention is Decker's Delight, who won at Hereford two outings ago. And then she went back there off only a £3 higher mark. And for some reason, for next time out, and I think she started... It's a ridiculously big price. Was it 25 to 1 or something like that? And she was actually on the heels of the leaders.
She was 25 to 1.
On the back of that win at that track. And she was on the heels of the leaders when she... I don't know whether she got hampered or... She didn't lose her rider at the hurdle. It was a few strides after. I think he must have got knocked off or something like that. But she would have been involved. And... Aidan Coleman, very interesting jockey booking. Aidan's not ridden her before, and so let him go gets the vote. But I'll tell you what, for just a 7-runner handicap, it was really probably could knock out the top two, but the rest you could make a case for.
Just a shame there's not 8 runners, isn't it?
Definitely, because three of five, four to one the field, fantastic each way race. But and it, even still with 7 runners, 5 players, if you like, 2 places isn't too bad.
No, absolutely. Right, we'll turn our attention to Wolverhampton next then. The 2.55 is the first race that we're going to focus on at Wolverhampton. It's a handicap of the extended mile trip. 9 of them down to go to post. It's a really cracking race, this. Some of these arrive here in really good form off the back of good runs. We'll start with Dutch Uncle, visor for the first time here, a horse that... was very well supported last time, was a little bit short in the market for me, but again would have to go close here on all known form.
Well, he was, and he did run well. He nearly justified the support, didn't he? Just got touched off. He's gone up a couple of pounds for that, but I'm not too bothered about that because he's strung 3 good solid runs together the last 3. I know he's a long time between drinks, Dutch Uncle, and he's often well backed, but. He has got the visor on for the first time, which is very interesting, isn't it? And
do you see that as a positive or a negative? It's sort of an acknowledgement that there may be a bit of a problem, but at the same time that
it is, but it could help. It could help.
It's amazing how much it does have an effect.
Yeah, at 5 years old, it could just
sharpen
help.
Him up.
Yeah, and I think another plus if you fancy Dutch Uncle is that he also ran well. Finished second on his only start here on the Tapeter at Wolverhampton. So he's definitely on the shortlist, Dutch Uncle.
We've got Byers Road and Superstar, who both ran on Saturday. Whether they turn out again is another question, but would both have to be respected if turning up. It is quite a big if.
I think they probably will, because it's a good pot, isn't it? Mm. And Byers Road's in form, head second over course and distance on Saturday evening, upper grade from Class 4 to Class 3 might just be might enough more than he can chew here in a, as you said, a quality little contest. But you can't deny the form that he's in.
No, absolutely. So where are you going to look then for the winner of this?
Well, it's still I've still got Mythical Madness to speak about. It goes well here. He's only £3 higher than his last handicap win. This is only his fifth start for David O'Mara. Mm-hmm. And there could be, well, plenty more to come from him. I think he's probably going to get the vote, Mythical Madness. You mentioned Superstar. Quick reappearance after finishing close up fifth in a Class 2 on Saturday night. So he's down a grade and is very effective at this trip and could well take a hand. And we can't rule out Perfect Cracker, can we? Who's a course and distance winner here. Look to be running into form after that 6 months midsummer break last time. And only a pound higher than the last course and distance win. That's how tough it is, Alex. Mm. You know, any of those that we've spoken about could get the vote. But I'm going to stay with Mythical Madness.
Mythical Madness gets the nod.
Just.
Okay.
Just.
Very, very tight one, though.
Yeah, very.
At Wolverhampton, plenty and with chances. The next race isn't any easier. It's the 4 o'clock that we're going to focus on now.
Oh, I like this.
Condition stakes over the extended 2 mile trip. As things stand, we've got 8 runners, and if all 8 stay in, then there could be some each way value to be had here. But there's some really nice types in this race. Godolphin even are double handed with Antiquarium and Famous Kid. But there's other horses that have been running in some good races, and as you said earlier, the Northumberland Plate winner lines up in this contest. So
absolutely,
it is a fiercely competitive race, and it's an absolute cracker for a Monday, isn't it?
Quality race, isn't it? We'll start with Antiquarium. He is a previous course winner. He carried 9 stone 8 in the Ebo following his Northumberland Plate win and ran with credit, I thought. Yeah. We haven't seen him since then. Very likely raced last year. His only win was the Northumberland Plate, but that was a nice one to do, wasn't it? Don't worry about the break. And fitness unlikely to be an issue for him. He has run well after a break. He hasn't won after a break, but he has run well after a break. I think he's a very interesting runner indeed, Antiquarium, as is Famous Kid, who comes from an even longer break. But again, he's got a really good record fresh after a break, so definitely don't be put off by that. I'm yet to be totally convinced that this is his trip, but these races are rarely out-and-out stamina tests, are they? You're 2 miles on the all-weather. They tend to
dawdle for a circuit and then the race
turns
begins
into a bit of a sprint finish.
To take form, yeah.
And he's got, you know, he's got good form over middle distances like a mile and a half and stuff. And if it does, the race does pan out like that for him. Good to see Joe Gordon coming in for some good rides for a Godolphin, isn't it? And he's got the class to worry these.
It's also interesting to see that Famous Kid, Antiquarium and Sandro Botticelli are rated far and away the best horses in the race.
They are,
By quite a distance.
Yeah. I'd be a bit wary of Sandro Botticelli. It's his Tappeta debut. Mm-hmm. He's a very good horse, don't get me wrong. But
he's also carrying that bit more weight as well.
Yeah, and he looks to me as though he's a mud horse on the flat. If this was you're running the mud on the grass somewhere, it'd definitely be in. I just think it might just happen a bit quickly for him.
Okay.
And we can't not mention Steve Rogers, can we? Who's knocking on the door?
So consistent, but a little frustrating. That said, has won on, well, not round here, but at Kempton. He's got a good record at Kempton.
Yeah, and not a bad strike rate actually. He's 6 from 18. You know, and the company he keeps, that isn't a bad effort. He's a course winner here. He's got work to do on ratings with the Godolphin pair, but he'll run his race. You can guarantee that. And he's going to be an each-way price. And if those two, Antiquarium and Famous Kid, for whatever reasons underperform, he could well be the one to pick up the pieces. I think each way, I think the market will revolve around Godolphin, the pair of them.
It's quite hard to split them.
Yeah, and I think Steve Rogers each way might be the way to play this.
Okay. Intense Tango, another one to look at just at the bottom, because actually beat Steve Rogers at Musselburgh last season, if you like, on the turf. Yeah, would have to be respected if she's fully wound up off the back of 96 days off the track.
Yes, and she's also the only filly in the race, so she's getting the £5 mares allowance, which if she is wound up, and I've just noticed one or two of Carl's that have been off a bit, just looking as though they need in the run. I don't know whether that's significant or not, but very good mare when she's cherry ripe, Intense Tango, and as we say, it's a good enough pot to have one lined up for, isn't it?
Absolutely. So you're going to go with
Steve Rogers each way, yeah. But it's just cracking race to look forward to.
Mm. The final race we're going to focus on is the 4:30 from Wolverhampton, handicap over a mile and a half. 9 of them set to go to post in this one. Maybe lacks the quality of the two races that we've already discussed, but it's still very, very competitive and there's still plenty who arrive here with chances. Where should we start in this one?
Well, I'll go through them in race card order. Start with the top, joint top way, Hot Beat. David Simcock trains, Martin Harley taking the ride. Now, that was his first start since leaving Germany when he was where he used to be trained by Peter Schergen, when 5th of 8 in a handicap over the CD 51 days ago. Don't know where he's been since then. The race didn't pan out for him, but he was very easy to back that day. Mm. And he'll definitely be of interest if he's strong in the market. If he isn't, I'd have another look at him. But if he's strong in the market, I'd be getting on side.
Okay.
Plutocracy is interesting. Mainly because it's a game last time out winner. The second has come out and won subsequently, giving that form a bit of substance. I think this is a bit hotter, and he has gone up 3, but he still makes the shortlist. But the vote is going to go to Sir Mark's filly, Alan Stante, who's definitely running herself into form. And she looked a bit unlucky not to win at Lingfield, I thought, last time. Got shuffled back at a crucial part of the race, and then it was all over before she recovered. So I think she's this is her Tapita debut, but I'm not too bothered about that. She's okay on the poly track, and I think Alan Stante reproduction of that Lingfield run will make her very hard to beat.
Classic Mark Prescott horse, really. In many ways, but also, there could just be a bit more about her, given she actually won on debut, which
absolutely
for one of Sir Mark's is pretty much unheard of. Then ran
and she missed her 3-year-old career.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Ran in a listed contest second time out behind Fireglow, then knocked up a couple more pretty comfortable successes, and then, like I said, bit of time off the track, has been coming back to it while stepping up in trip.
Yeah.
But all looks
and
to
they've
be,
kept her. I mean, her owner breeds. Mm. You would have thought Sir Mark's persuaded her to keep her in training.
Yeah.
She could have easily be gone off to the paddocks. She's broken her maiden. She's got the wins. I think he thinks this might get some black type before he's finished. That'll be his objective.
Cheap piece for the first time as well.
Exactly. Yeah.
Mark Prescott's charge in this. Right, that's the 4:30 at Wolverhampton. Done and dusted.
Yeah.
What would be your best bet of the four that we've put up then?
Ooh, tough one, isn't it? Because they're all... I think probably Alan Stante, because I do think Sir Mark has kept her in training because he thinks he can get some black type into her, and I would say she'd be the best of the four. But fascinating days racing all over the country.
Absolutely, and I think I'd have to agree with you. I think Alan Stante's got a cracking chance in that Wolverhampton 4:30. Best of luck, Mick, and the best of luck to our listeners as well. If you are having a bet on Monday, don't forget to do it here at William Hill. Thank you, Mick.
My pleasure, Alex.
And we. Myself and Mick will catch up with you soon. Goodbye.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.